That was violinist Nick Croza, recorded live at the Call Auditorium on the Reed College campus in Portland, Oregon. In this demonstration, we're going to break down the microphones that were used and show the contribution that each makes to this mix. This recording uses a stereo pair along with three close microphones. We have two microphones very close on the piano harp, and we have a violin microphone that's about 4 feet above the violin. We need the distance to get a more natural sound with that close microphone, but we don't want to get so far away that we're defeating the purpose of using a close microphone. So that becomes a bit of a tricky balance. It takes some listening to the instrument, configuring the stage. And of course, we want to make sure the musicians can see and hear each other as they need to. Let's take just a side detour into single stereo pair microphones or two microphones that are close together to form a stereo pair. I've used every stereo miking technique known to man, and I have settled on one called 50 centimeter AB with diffraction spheres on omnidirectional microphones. That's quite a mouthful. Just suffice to say, it is the most accurate imaging, both left to right and front to back, of all the stereo techniques I've ever used. There are some engineering purists that only want to use a stereo pair, and that can be problematic. The close microphones give us some detail and presence that can be very handy in making the instruments more defined within that beautiful stereo feel we might have captured. Perhaps more importantly, as our signal faces various challenges with home stereo systems that are not adequate, less than perfect home listening rooms, low-resolution MP3s, and so on, that little extra bit of presence that we've embedded in our stereo field using the close microphones will help us overcome some of those daily limitations. First, I'm going to play a few seconds of the entire mix as it is now with all five microphones. Then we'll go to, we'll do a stereo pair for a few seconds. We'll just do the violin microphone for a few seconds and the piano for a few seconds. And then I'll play some more of the whole thing. And I'm going to take it. This was done in the concert hall, but it still benefited from post-production reverberation. So I'll take that in and out for a little bit and show you that as well. So here we go. Let's start with the whole thing, and then I'll try to inject here what we've got. Piano only. Violin only. Stereo pair only. Back to the full mix, all five. Added reverb out. Added reverb back in. So there are multiple objectives that we're trying to do here. One is to give a sense of space, the appropriate sense of space. In this recording, it's a little bigger. It's a little more modern music, a few centuries newer than Bach. And yet we do want to try to provide a sense of space and realism, and that can be done in various ways, from everything from microphone placement to artificial reverberation, which you heard earlier fairly subtly. That is all sized according to what best fits the repertoire and the period that we're doing. I think we can agree that this particular reverb field for this corn gold would be inappropriate for Bach. It's a little too big, a little too wet, so we would pull it back. And that's easily done with modern mixing techniques and miking techniques. With the stereo pair, we get the dimensionality that sometimes the close mics don't give you. So all these things work together to give you what is hopefully a fairly exciting and engaging recording, all in the service of the music, of course. That's goal one. So hope this clarifies some things. I'm left out many things I'm sure you don't want to know about. Well, of course, if you have any questions, give me a call. That's Frank Stearns at 435-275-8981.